Sure. Good to be here this morning. Thankful that God is so blessed. And among other things, to be a part of a work this day and time that's sound in the faith, striving to serve the Lord as He would have them to, is the greatest blessing that a man can experience on this earth. If it's not a blessing to you, feel sorry for you. And there must be something between you and the Lord that you need to try to get straightened out. Because I fully believe, according to the description of the Bible, of the times of the coming of the Lord, that it could be any time. And besides that, young and old, you never know when that day and hour comes when you'll go out of this life. And the way you go out is the way you're going to be eternally when you stand before the Lord. Anyway, I want to speak to you on the subject of the lost sinner's greatest mistake. And the greatest mistake has "will not" in it. Man, the sinner, will not. John 5, begin with verse number 24, or 25. 24. Or is it 25? 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of my Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light. Ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light, but I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. Not even when there was one in the cleft of the rock and all that Moses could see was his hinder parts. What did he say here? None have seen the Father. So he's talking about here. So it wasn't the Father. It was Jesus. Amen. And don't tell me, because I won't listen. Because it's not according to the scripture. And you shouldn't listen if it's not according to the scripture. This verse right here tells us that that person that he saw in the cleft of the rock was Jesus in the Old Testament. So don't tell me that he's not in the Old Testament. Now, if you can't twist that around and get it straight in your mind, pray about it. The Lord reveal it to you if you're willing. And ye have not his word abided. Let's start with verse 37. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. All right, in the scripture reading, we find Jesus reminding the unbelieving Jews of several witnesses to the fact that he is the Son of God. First of all, the witness of John the Baptist, verses 32 through 35. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say, that you might be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Then we have the witness of the miracles in verse number 36. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. Nicodemus, he saw that witness and believed that witness. Why? Because of the miracles that he was able to do, that work that he did, performing miracles. And then we have the witness of the Father. Verse number 37, the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. In Acts, the second chapter, the verse number 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Then, the witness of the scriptures. We have the witness of John the Baptist. We have the witness of the miracles. We have the witness of the Father. We have the witness of the scriptures. And by the way, the Old Testament scriptures is what they had at that time. And so the Old Testament scriptures did what? Witnessed of Jesus. Well, what good is the Old Testament? Well, I'll tell you what it's good for today as it was even then. It showed forth who Jesus was. He was that Lamb of God. He was that man that they were looking for, the God-man. And it's revealed clearly in the Old Testament. And they were without excuse for not believing that and receiving the witness that God gave. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And this is verse 39 of John chapter 5. And ye will not come to me that you might have life. Now you think of all the witnesses we have today, and yet you will not come to me that you might have life. You won't surrender. You won't submit. You won't yield to the word of God. You won't yield to the witnesses of Christ. Those witnesses of Christ and his word is to bring us humbly before him, and for us to yield our soul and yield our life unto him, for which purpose we're here, and for no other purpose. In spite of these various witnesses, these Jews still remain in unbelief even unto this day. They're still, because they'll not receive the witness. There's many people in the world who are still in this same position. Irrefutable evidence is available, but they simply will not come to Jesus. We're going to look at the necessity, and it's assured necessity. And verse 40, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You will not come to me because, and you will not have life if you refuse to come to me. The assurance of a necessity, it is absolutely essential. If a man's going to have life or spend eternity in life, and if he refuses, then he's going to spend it in death. Jesus is the one who offers life. John chapter 10, verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's Jesus. He's got life. The Father has given into him life. And that life is eternal life. Jesus is the life. John 11, verses 25 and 26. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Now notice that article, the. It's important. Because Jesus is the only hope or obtaining the resurrection and attaining eternal life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life, and there is no other. He that believeth in me, and that's with the heart, according to the Spirit through Paul to the church at Rome, you got to believe with the heart. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Jesus is a sure way and an open way. Look at John 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the only way. 14 and 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man can come to the Father except by him. Why can't mankind get it? If you're here and you haven't believed and trusted in Jesus Christ for the saving of your soul, why don't you get it? Why can't? The reason you can't get it is because you will not come to Jesus. Jesus is the sure way and the open way. John 3. Verses 14 through 18. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Those that believe on him with the heart have everlasting life. Not gonna have, they have it right now. They're gonna live spiritually, eternally, forever. They're gonna live that spiritually for the few years that are left that God has set aside to redeem man and bring him to him. And then they're going to live body, soul, and spirit eternally, and going to live without that old nature and without sin. What do the sacrifice that people make to enjoy life? And some people make the sacrifice of their own life because they can't find any enjoyment in this life. Jesus promises life without that. Jesus promises life with freedom and with joy and rejoicing eternally and forevermore. Why wouldn't one come? Why wouldn't they come to Jesus? Only thing I can think of is old foolish man. Oh, foolish man. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, what do you mean, condemned? It simply means that man is in a state of condemnation, and he's condemned by the word of God. Yeah. You judging me, you condemning me, if it's the word of God that's put before you, it's not the individual, you're condemned already. The word of God is what condemns. Why is that? So that God can, or man can see how far away he is from God, and that it's his own fault that he's in that position, and that he's going to suffer eternal death. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Then in John 5, verse number 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. My friend, come to Jesus. He can give it to you instantly, when you're willing to come his way. And believeth on him that sent me. Those that believe in Jesus have to believe that God the Father sent him. Has to believe that God is a triune God. And when you come to him believing, then that he gives them everlasting life. And listen, immediately they receive it. And will not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now, if you want security of the believer, that's it. Amen. Guaranteed by God that when he delivers you, you'll not fall back in it again. When he brings you into a relationship through repentance and faith as Savior, then he's going to keep that salvation. He's going to keep you. It's not going to keep you from sinning. You're going to have to do that. But then you're going to pay the penalty for it. But he'll keep you eternally in salvation, in this everlasting life, this life that doesn't come to an end. All right. He hath everlasting life, shall not in the future come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. No more concern about that eternal death. But then the concern now is standing before him in judgment. And I'll tell you what, the hardest hearted sinner, when he stands before Jesus, is going to hit his knees. He's going to prostrate on the ground. He's going to wish to God that he would have believed. He's going to wish to God that he'd come to Jesus while he still had time. The absolute prerequisite of the thing is that we must come to Jesus. There is the must of the confession of sin. Proverbs, the 28th proverb, and verse number 13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Then in Luke 23 It says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Listen, confession, forsaking was there. The thief recognized and acknowledged his condition, confessed it, and fully trusted in Jesus. And Jesus said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." One must come to Jesus with a godly sorrow and repentance. Luke, the 5th chapter, verse 32. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And then Luke 15 and 7 says, "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." It takes repentance toward God. It takes a godly sorrow. It takes seeing how good he was and merciful to man, who man turned upon him, became an enemy to him by his own choice. Every lost sinner is an enemy of God by his own choice. And so you see how good he was to show the mercy and to deliver one like that from the fires and flames of hell eternally. Then it should make it easier for us to come to him and to seek and come in the manner in which he sets forth here. The example of men who met God's prerequisites. David was one. Look at Psalms 40, verses 1 through 4. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He sought me," or he brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, "and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies." The awful penalty for not coming to Jesus: "If you will not come to me that you might have life, you're dead without Jesus." He did not say, "You cannot come." He will turn no one away who will come in the condition that he's prescribed in his word. When he come with godly sorrow, when he come with repentance, true repentance, and when he comes with true faith and real faith, then he will grant the blessings of eternal life. You who are rejecting Christ must say, "I will not come that I might have life." You got to just totally reject him. You got to totally reject his word. You got to totally despise his word. To despise the Bible, the word of God, what do you think you're doing? By not following the instructions in order to come to Jesus, in order to have eternal life. One has to say, "I reject God's Son. I refuse the cleansing power of Christ's blood." Why will you not come? Why will you not come, lost friend? Why will you not come, child of God? Why will you not come, church member? Did you know that there are times in our lives as church members, and we walk away from Jesus for weeks at a time sometimes. Yeah. Do you get up in the morning and immediately begin to pray and thank the Lord for the good night's rest? Or do you just get up, got to hurry, get around, go, 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 and by the time the week's out, you haven't even talked to him except thank you for the food and now lay me down to sleep. Why aren't you blessed? It's because you will not come. Why is the world falling out around you? Because you will not come. Perhaps you desire to understand more instead of coming to Jesus. Possibly you have some secret sin which you love to indulge in. Perhaps you feel that there will be plenty of time for this. Look at Proverbs 7, or 27 rather, verse number 1. It says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Maybe you think it's not absolutely necessary for you to come. John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You must be born again. Why go there? Why say that? You must be born again. If you don't do these things we've already put forth this morning and come to Jesus in that manner, you're not going to be born again. You must come that way. You must come to this place in your heart and in your mind where you wholeheartedly believe what we've looked at this morning from the Word of God. What it boils down to is the Word testifies of Him, and you won't come to Jesus because you refuse to believe. You refuse to trust. It comes down to this: repent or perish. Failure to do it is not God. The failure is not Jesus's. The failure is not the preacher's. The failure is not the church's. And boy, do I get tired of hearing even God's people, members of New Testament churches, complaining about the church, finding fault with this or that. That irritates me beyond description. Failure's not the church. The church just being here proves that. The failure is yours who will not come. That's just where it's at. It is you who will not come. This morning, we're going to have an invitational hymn. And the invitation is to you to come to Jesus. We don't want you to come to this church. We want you to come to Jesus, because you got to come to Him first before you can be a part of the church. We don't want you to come because someone else wants you to come. We don't want you to come if you just feel sorry for yourself and you're not really repentant. We want you to come repenting and by faith trusting Jesus. We want you to come confessing your sin, child of God, and making things right. Submit to scriptural baptism that you might be made a member of a New Testament church. We want you to come so that you can enjoy the blessings of being faithful to the Lord in a New Testament church. All the abundance that we have, the blessings that we have, just living in this country. Compare it with all these others. They're all in the news. And see what kind of stuff that they have to go through, the horrible things. And He's blessed us here, not to face that. Come to Jesus before it's too late. What shall we sing, brother?
Hymn 377.
Won't you come? Whatever the need is this morning, come to Jesus. Bring your burden to Him.